This is the last week of January, and I know a lot of people already throwing out the resolutions that they made at the beginning of this month. Usually by then it's tough. People realize how challenging it became for them to keep those resolutions going. You see, you and I face challenges every day of our lives. As long as you and I will be alive, we will have to battle against obstacles, against challenges. We all going to face challenges at school, at work, everywhere you go. At church, there always be new challenges to face. Now, the Christian race that you and I are in, it won't be an easy race. You will be challenged. You will be tempted to quit. You see, growing in Christ is no walk in a park. Growing in Christ does not require determination and hard work if we truly want to grow in Him. But there will be challenges ahead of us that we'll have to deal with, we have to battle, face. And if we're not prepared, we'll lose. Challenges as a church, as we try to fulfill His mission. Satan does not want you to grow in Christ. He doesn't want the church to fulfill Christ's mission. So he would do anything in his power to distract us from it. See, it doesn't matter what ministry you might be involved in the church, you will face challenges. Anything you do for God, it won't be without difficulties. I don't know if you experienced that. The more you want to get close to God, it appears that the harder it is to do it. Because you will be faced with challenges and hard things. And so when you make promises, Lord, I wanna read the word more. It's not gonna be easy unless you really determine yourself to do it. The Bible gives us insight and guidance for you and I how to navigate through the challenges that we face so that we can do it in a way that will bring glory and honor to God. See, my friends, when the church began in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we know it started by the preaching of the apostles. Jesus had given them a command. He says, stay in the city until you are clothed with power, and then you are going to be my martyrs, my witnesses, in Jerusalem where you are, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they obeyed Jesus' call. They stayed there, waiting for that promise. And they were preaching. And remember, Peter preached in chapter 2, and they were like, 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. And then we're told how they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the prayer, to fellowship. And it was amazing how everybody stood in awe of what was happening back then, 2,000 years ago. However, Satan tried to stop the church through persecution. And right there, the church started, everybody's going well, things are going well, ministries are going well in the church. There's persecution from the outside, and they want to stop the apostles from telling others about Jesus. And Peter finally said to a whole bunch of people, choose yourself. What should we do? Should we obey you or should we obey God? He said, we're going to obey God. I don't know what you guys are going to do, but Peter said, we're going to obey the Lord. We cannot stop telling you what we have seen and heard, he said. So you see, persecution from the outside did not stop the spreading of the church. As the apostles continued to preach and testified about Jesus, more people were becoming disciples, believers in Him. You see, Satan did not win from the outside. And you know what Satan does when he realizes he loses a battle? He finds other strategy. You know, it's almost like when you go fishing. The fish is not biting that particular bait. You change the bait. Satan is an expert in strategy. So what did he do? He went to church then. I hope that you're staying awake with me here. Satan could not beat the church from the outside. He goes into the church now. And you remember Ananias and Sapphira, so they wanted to deceive the whole fellowship, and they, God killed them right then. So Satan comes to the church trying to distract the apostles from fulfilling the mission. And I just want to show you that text in Acts chapter 6. She says, severe persecution comes. Did not stop the church. Now Satan tries differently. He goes to church. Growth is great, but with much growth comes greater challenges. It's like with great power comes great responsibility. With great growth comes greater challenges. And that's exactly what you see in this text in chapter 6 of Acts. You had your Bibles. I just want to journey together with you for a moment. So you see what happens. The church is already established. Things are going well. Yes, the religious leaders wanted to stop the apostles from preaching. They did not succeed. And now check out what happens within the congregation, within the church. I'm reading the NIV 1984. It says, in those days, Acts chapter 6, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews, your translation might say, the Greek-speaking Jews or Hellenistic Jews, among them complained against the Hebraic Jews or the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. It's interesting, Luke, the writer, he wants you to pay attention right here when he says, in those days, the number of disciples was increasing. In those days, growth was happening in the church, and then what happens? There was a problem. Because when there's a lot of growth, there will be issues. There will be problems because let me just give it up to you. Let me just say it to you. You're dealing with a lot of people, different personalities, issues. People might come from different backgrounds and denominations. People might come from different ethnic groups. And everybody has their own opinion on how things should go. So, of course, there's going to be issues when there's a lot of growth. So with much growth comes greater challenges. And I think that text is right here at the beginning of everything, so that you see that the rest of the book of Acts is how they were able to navigate through those challenges, and they were able to overcome them, and they brought glory to God in how they dealt with those difficulties and problems. So in those days, the number of disciples, more growth taking place. But the enemy doesn't like this, and what happened? Now he's trying to distract the disciples, the apostles, the church. It is not coincidental that the text says that more people were becoming disciples and then a problem came. Because that's usually how it is. Growing in Christ is not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be difficult. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is not for cowards. You have to be brave sometimes. If you want to really persevere in so many other things, you got to do. So what was the problem about? We have two different camps. Remember, when the church started, it was mainly Jewish people in Jerusalem, the apostles. But later on, it didn't take long for the church to be more diverse, to be more ethnic. And, you know, later on, you hear about a church in Syria named Antioch, and they were really diverse. But Jerusalem was really mostly Jews. Now, you hear about these terms that there was like the Grecian Jews, the Hellenistic Jews. What it means is that they were more Greek in nature than a Hebrew. The Hellenistic complain about their widows because their widows were being overlooked, were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. See, there's a big problem here because, you see, we had two camps, almost like two different races. It could have become racial, like people always want to make things racial. This could have split up the church, and guess what would have happened to Christianity and even to us today if they had not dealt with this issue the biblical way. There was a challenge in this ministry. Now, the daily distribution of food, like the first time you hear that, it says, let me just read, in those days, the number of disciples was increasing, and the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the apostles gathered the church together. It's interesting, that ministry never had a problem in chapter 4. The first time you hear about this distribution of funds and goods was chapter 4. Everything was going well by chapter 4. In fact, Luke tells us that the Bible says that there was no needy person, people among them, because from time to time, the people would sell their possessions and they would bring the proceeds of the sales to the apostles. And it was distributed to everybody according to their needs. The distribution was already taking place in chapter 4. But we don't know how long it took from chapter 4 to chapter 6, because it says that now, when the number of disciples was increasing, there are more people now to deal with. Now we have a complaint. And just, you know, complaints is going to happen everywhere. Being honest. Everywhere you go, somebody's going to complain about what you do. Everywhere you work, at school. And church is no different. It's going to happen because we're dealing with people. This is one of the reasons I always tell I never wanted to be a preacher, because I saw my dad, what he used to do and deal with people. And I said, I don't know that I can do that. And then the Lord said, yes, you can. And then he appointed me to be a preacher. But I love doing this job, because through God, all things are possible. And when you do anything to glorify him, man, everything will be okay. I mean, look at the apostles. They said, there's a big problem here. It could have become racial. It could have split up the church. And then that's not really what God has in mind for the church. They called together the disciples, because that issue needed their attention. And this is how they dealt with it. They says, so the 12, verse 2, gathered all the disciples. Now, you check it out. The text says they still calling them disciples. By chapter 11, they're called Christians. Sometimes you hear the word disciples, believers, church. Christians is still the same group. A church is the gathering together of believers. That's what the church is. It's not never a building. So they called together all the disciples around them, the believers, the Christians, the whole congregation. And this is what the apostles said. They say, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. The ESV said the apostles would, they say, it would not be right for us to neglect the preaching of the word of God to run a food program. I mean, some modern translation, that's how they would render that text. The apostle would spend, he said, we'll spend our time teaching the word of God instead of running a food pantry. So the first thing the apostles recognize here is the severity of the issue. It could have split the church. And then they gather the church together and say, let's deal with this thing. First, the apostles identify their main mission. Look, it says, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to serve on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give this responsibility over to them. The apostles, the first thing they did, they identified, they prioritized the main mission. What was the apostles' main mission? To preach and teach the word of God. Now, there's a new ministry, which is awesome to have new ministry, but the apostles understood, like, we cannot just spread out two things and do every ministry in the church, like many of you guys think that that's how it is, unbiblically. Like many people sometimes think that every, like, or the elders or the ministers are supposed to do every ministry in the church. When that happens, the church will never grow. The church will always stay small. Look at what the apostles did. The apostles identified the main priority, which is the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Because, my friends, that's how the church began, by the preaching of the apostles, by the preaching and teaching others about Jesus. They say it's not right for us to neglect our ministry to serve another, to do another ministry. They understood God called them to, the main priority was a Christ-centered church. The main priority will always be the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. The main priority in any church that will call themselves a Christian church or Church of Christ should always be the education of the people. The Christian education, the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, that is the main priority. Because disciples are not made without teaching the word of God. No other ways you can make disciples of Jesus, true disciples, if they do not know the word of God. So the apostles were like, hey, this is our main mission. Identifying the main mission, which is the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. And he says, we cannot neglect ours to do another one. So this is how you do it. Choose 7 men, and we're going to handle that responsibility over to them. Good leaders are good leaders when they learn how to delegate and don't do everything themselves. Are you with me so far? Leaders have to learn how to delegate, put somebody else in charge, but do not micromanage, thinking like, well, they're not doing it the way I want it. Let them, empower them to do so. And look at what the apostles did. That's exactly what they did. See, like I said, without the proclamation of the word of God, we would not have true disciples of Jesus. Everything else will come second after the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They suggested how to handle the issue. Verse 3, choose from among yourselves, seven men. Now, these men that they selected, that's what a lot of times people call deacons or ministry leaders. And it's interesting, but you look at all their names, they were all Hellenistic. They spoke more Greek than Hebrew. So choose seven men from among your own group, people that you already know that they have good reputation, good testimony, and they are also full of the Holy Spirit. There were some qualifications. It's not just anybody who's going to come and be serving in this ministry or the food distribution in the first century, but seven men that you know they're full of the Holy Spirit, and they're wise. They're smart people. We're going to turn that responsibility over to them. So the proposal was pleased by the congregation, and they appointed seven men. And you have the names of those men: Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, and from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles. They pray over them, laying their hands on them. You see, these men were to handle or manage this new ministry that was having issues right now with the food distribution for widows. I love the apostles said, we will turn that responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to what our goal, our ministry is, to preaching the word of God and to prayer. That's what they did. So you see, good leaders, they learn to delegate. They empower the people to serve, put them in charge of all different other ministries. But they don't do that all. They don't do all, every ministry by themselves. Otherwise, the church will never grow. And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. It was approved. They selected those men. And what happened after that? You see, this is one of the things that I love about that text. When you see what happens after how they resolve the issue, because church people, issues will always come. But sometimes the church will survive based on how the leadership will resolve certain issues. If the leaders will not resolve certain issues, the church can stop right there or will stop growing for a while. When you don't come and decided to do it the God's way, the apostle identified the main mission. God called us to do that. We cannot get distracted. Even though we have all the ministries around, find somebody else to do it. And they did. And what did the Lord do? He blessed their decision. How do I know that? Look at what he says in the next verse. So the word of God spread. Let me just translate that for you. More issues are coming. They handled that so well, and God gave him more growth. With much growth comes greater challenges. And the word of God spread, a number of disciples in Jerusalem increased, so Satan could not distract the church, people coming to the Lord. This says, in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and check this out, this is key right here, and a number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is going to be a hard issue later on. Priests that came, that were Pharisees before, now they're in the church. Imagine later on what's going to that happen in chapter 15. You can read about. There was an issue because there were some priests that came from different religion, and I was like, hold on, but you're not saved unless you're circumcised. That was another issue in chapter 15 that you can read in the book of Acts. So with much growth comes greater challenges, but they handled it for the glory of God, and God blessed their decision because God always rewards faithfulness to his task. The apostles were faithful in handling the problem. They were not distracted by the complaints of the widows. They realized there's a major problem. We are the shepherds. We are to deal with that. And they did it in a way that would bring glory and honor to God. And it was so because the Lord allowed more growth. Because it's like this. If you cannot handle the small things, you will not be able to handle the big things. If you fail God in the small potato issues, you will not be able to be successful in the big potato issues. If you're not faithful in the small things, you will not be faithful in the big things. And that's why Jesus said it. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are being faithful in a few, I'm going to put you in charge of more. You know why he put him in charge of more? More growth is coming? Because they handled it the right way. And it was for the glory of God. God rewards faithfulness to his task, especially to his mission. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Man, awesome how they resolved the issue. We see now we know if you were to fly to that church, let's say we were in a time machine, we would go there, we would have those seven men in charge of the food distribution. And what it means is, if somebody had a complaint anywhere, they don't have to go find Peter, find Stephen, or Philip, or Prochor. Find one of those men appointed to that particular ministry, because that was their responsibility. Now, the overall shepherding of the church fell under the guidance of the apostles. And they, Stephen or Philip got into problem, they would go and see the apostles. But they handled it, and the Lord blessed their decision. You see, my friends, when it comes to facing challenges as a church, we must learn like the first Christians did. Any problem that rises, we should never neglect it. We might think it's small. Some people tend to ignore things sometimes. Don't do that. You have to deal with that, because you ignore it, it's like a little cell, a little tumor you have. You ignore that, eventually it might come cancerous, and now you're in big trouble. Any little issues, and somebody complains about, I've been in church, it's like, somebody complained about, you got to deal with that. Because there's always a lot of gossip going around. You got to deal with that, as a shepherd. Because Satan just wants you to be distracted so that you don't continue to do the mission, which is making disciples of Christ. So leaders must never neglect the main mission of the church. Now, I know, many of us still don't even know what the main mission of the church is. Matthew 28. The main mission of the church always has been to make disciples of all nations, to bring more people to Christ. That's always been the main mission. And whatever we do will not fulfill that purpose, then you're neglecting the main priority of the church of Jesus Christ. That's what the apostles said. We cannot neglect our ministry to be involved in another one. Select certain people to do that one, and we're going to continue focusing on the main one that the Lord has called us, which is the ministry of the word, the preaching and the teaching of the word of God and prayer. The church always has to know what is the main reason that we exist here today. Why are we a church? Have you ever thought about that? Because if it is only to gather here on Sunday, we're not fulfilling God's mission. If it is only to fellowship and have a great time, that's also, it's good, but that's not the mission. The mission has never changed. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Go and make disciples. It's always been the mission. And that always will be my vision and my mission as long as I live. As long as I'm still preaching the gospel, everywhere I go, I got to be an ambassador of Christ, a missionary. I got to be missional everywhere I go. The preaching and the teaching of the word of God, that was the main priority when Jesus gave the command. And still, if we're going to call ourselves a church of Christ, guess what our mission is? Making disciples of all nations. Making disciples of people so that they get to developing mature disciples. But the only way that you can be a disciple of Christ is when you learn his word. Without the Bible, you and I don't make disciples. Without the Bible, this is what he says. Teaching them everything I have commanded them. If you're not teaching people, you're not making them into disciples. You're not learning the word of God. You are not truly a disciple of Jesus. If you're listening to me over there on Facebook, you just can look it up. You can hold me accountable for that. Find me a disciple that never learned the word of God in the Bible. They were not disciples. They were maybe clubs or people that just gathered to hear somebody. But true disciples are made by the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. And that is the main priority as a church if we truly want to make disciples in this world. So leaders, do not neglect the main priorities. All ministries are good, but the main one is the preaching and teaching. Everything else comes second. Worship, that's awesome. That comes second too. Prayer ministry is great, second. Fellowship and ministry, too. Now, Bible study, you better got a priority in that. Without Bible study, you're not going to develop disciples. That's how you're going to know how to pray. That's how you're going to know how to worship God. That you're worshiping Him according to what the book says, not according to my own assumptions and presuppositions. So without the teaching and that's what, you see, the word of God spread quickly. More disciples are coming because they were being taught the word of God. They were learning. They were following Jesus. They were teaching the disciples everything that Jesus told them to teach. Leadership empowered others to serve and not overwhelm themselves with every ministry in the church. The apostles handled the food distribution to the seven, ministry leaders we call, the seven men, and they will be in charge of that ministry. Leaders, never overwhelm yourself. When I first worked at a church, I was privileged to have this man that was in a church for 29 and a half years, and I was kind of his protege right there, his student. And he retired, and then he got cancer. But I remember one time when he told the congregation that he was going to leave, people would say, oh, but we got Israel. We got Israel. You know what he said to me? He said, Israel, you got to learn how to say no sometimes. He said, all I hear is, oh, we got Israel, we got Israel. It's like, you tell him, he said to me, if you want me to do this thing, you got to take certain things off my plate. Where's the wisdom of Titus Salomo? I never forget. And that was true because later on they hired another minister. Now we got two and we spread out. We split up the certain areas in the ministry. And that's so true. 29 and a half years in a church. And he says, when people, sometimes you got to say, no, sorry, I cannot do that. Ministry is a joy, but if you're not careful, my friends, it will burn you down. It will burn you up, and then it will not longer become a joy. It'd be like, oh, I have to do this because my parents are telling me, oh, I have to do this because nobody else is doing it. If nobody else is doing it, then don't do it because it's no longer bringing glory to God. Are you with me? And if we know that our main goal is to bring glory to God, if you're going to do something just because somebody else did it, that's not bringing glory to God. That just want to bring glory to you, perhaps. Remember, the Lord is so key in that. And I had to learn that in almost 20 years of ministry right now. And every time I read that, it's like something new God's showing me to empower me more. It's like, this is what we got to do. If I'm going to be a leader, this is what I got to tell my people about all those things. Because perhaps we're just going with the flow and we don't really get it. Like some of you perhaps are already getting angry at me but don't get angry at me. Study the word. You want to back something up, you got to show me right here in the scripture. Now, you see, leaders should empower others to serve. I love empowering people. When people come with ideas, I say, how can we do it? Let's go ahead. Like the apostles, they empower that. Now, you see, God rewards faithfulness. The apostles were faithful to the mission. And as a preacher of the word of God, I want to be faithful to God. I want to do what he calls me to do. At a church, one time I told him, you guys don't want me to be the preacher. I know God will set up another church for me to preach because I feel called to preach. And that's what he calls me to do, to teach and preach the word of God. And if I cannot do it here, he will find another place for me to do it. I had to tell a church why, and I ended up here with you guys. And the same thing applies to you. Because my mission will be to preach and teach the word of God. That's what I've been called to do, to empower people to minister, to show them how they can do that for the glory of God. God will reward our faithfulness because when we are faithful with the small things, he will bring more things for us to do. So you think like, well, I don't want to do much because if I do it well, God's going to bring me. Yes, he will. But we are to do the best we can for him, aren't we? So he will reward. Jesus said, well done, good and faithful. Remember the parable of the talent. People say, hey, you gave me five talents here, five more. And Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few, I will put you in charge of more. Because if we're faithful with the small, God will bring more things to us. I always tell people, if we're not good stewards of what God, the resources we have, God will not bring more resources to us. If we don't know how to handle the money we have, God will not bring more money to you either. Because then it'd be a burden. And remember, he will not give you more than you can bear. You're not handling the little things he gave you. Therefore, he will not give you more things to handle. You understand what I'm saying? So when you are faithful with a few things, whatever it is that he has given to you to do, you're faithful with that, God will bless you with more. Look at what happened. They were able to handle that difficulties, and now God's bringing more growth because God realized, yes, they were faithful handling that problem. They will be faithful tomorrow handling the bigger ones that are coming. And that's exactly what he did. He rewards faithfulness, and my friends, you and I are to be faithful to the task. And day after day, every time I preach, I hope that you hear me out, that the task always been the same. The mission has not changed of Jesus Christ is to make disciples. And that's what we've been called to do at Staten Island Christian Church everywhere we go. Where life takes you, you are to be a representative. My life began in the Dominican Republic, took me to Chicago. I didn't want to come to New York. I'm here, but if I'm going to be here, I'm going to make disciples. And I hope that one day God takes me to Florida because the weather is nicer there. But that's a selfish prayer. You know, but I don't know where he's going to. I pray that he would not take me to Michigan or Canada, but that's just me. But if he wants me to go there, he will make me warm to deal with that. So God rewards faithfulness. Another thing that we learn too in this text. So ministry only exists for a time. See, let me show you here in the text. I read that and I studied. I realized like, oh, wow. You know how it is? Like you get an aha moment. Like I preach about this and I never noticed this. Some ministry in the church might just be for a time. And eventually then you had to let him go. The food distribution was only for a time. How do I know that? Because when you keep on reading in Acts, there was a severe persecution that broke. Chapter 7, Stephen is dead. One of the seven is killed now. Chapter 8, Philip had to leave Jerusalem because now Saul of Tarsus is trying to destroy the church. He's dragging out Christians. If you were a Christian, he will go to your house and arrest you. So guess what? There's no more distribution food because people are running away. People running because... And so that stopped. Many of the leaders had to leave. So that was the end of the whole food distribution. So you and I need to understand in churches, I mean, there were so many ministries in 50 years that you could have gone through. Now all those ministries will continue to go. And you have to be okay with that because God is the one who allows that to happen. God allows the persecution to happen. You know why? To mobilize the church because they became inwardly focused rather than hourly. The ministry was just for them. Food distribution for the Christian and Hebraic Jews, us. And God said, no, it ain't happening. He allowed the severe persecution. And now he said, I mean, I just want to read. He said, all except the apostles had to leave Jerusalem. Because if you stay in Jerusalem, you're either going to be arrested or you're going to be killed. So you see, the only ministry that continued to go was preaching the gospel. But the food distribution stopped because God allowed it to happen. Chapter 8. You see, Philip. Now, another thing too about those men that were selected, that wasn't the only thing they did. Stephen and Philip became evangelists. You see, at one time, which happens to us, you might be involved in a ministry here, and tomorrow you might be in a different one based on your abilities. Philip and Stephen, they became preachers as well. The reason that Stephen was killed because he preached a sermon that people didn't like and they stoned him. And then Philip was, remember chapter 8, he talked to a black man, an Ethiopian eunuch, and he told him about the gospel. But guess what? Philip used to be part of the food distribution program, and now he's preaching. God, no ministry is supposed to last forever. So you see, that one, the food distribution just happened until that severe persecution broke out, and then everybody, the church had to be mobilized. Now, the Bible said those who were scattered preached everywhere they went, because that's what Jesus had told them, where you go, make disciples of other nations. When they would go because of persecution, they would tell the message to others. I just that'd be a joy if you read chapter 8 and 9 of Acts. So you see how God, because of the persecution, now people are going everywhere they went. They told others about Jesus. God allowed that to happen to mobilize the church from becoming inwardly focused. Why do I say that? Because when you look at what Jesus had told the disciples in chapter 1 of Acts, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they all were, Jerusalem. And in all Judea, now we're talking about not just the town, but the country area. In Samaria, ethnic people, and to the ends of the earth. That was the mission. The church stayed in Jerusalem. And I guarantee you, if persecution hadn't happened, they would stay still be there in Jerusalem. And you and I wouldn't have known about the gospel. Persecution came, and now it's, we got to get out of here. And it was, God allowed that to happen because the church was becoming inwardly focused. They were content just being in Jerusalem, just like many of us. And God said, you got to move out of your comfort zones. Like, we're content just being here. We're doing things just for the church, us. But how about the outside? We're not the mission. We are partakers. We are soldiers for Christ to go and reach the lost. So they stay there. Persecution come. Now they had to leave. Jesus had given them specific instructions and they neglected it. Like, sometimes we forget. They needed to be recalculated into what the main mission was. So as they went, I love that. Those who were scattered by the persecution preached the word of God. They were still preaching the word of God. Let me just read that for you. Chapter 8, verse 4. Well, let me just read a little bit, because this is like so nice. Like, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea. Oh, you see where they were scattered? Then Jesus said, go in Samaria and what? Judea and to the ends of the earth. So all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put into prison. You see, that ministry of the food distribution is no longer there. Those who have been scattered, those who had to leave, preached the word. There it is again. Now they're preachers. Preach the word of God wherever they went. Philip went down to Samaria. Philip was the second evangelist that came to Samaria. Who was the first one? Jesus. Remember with the talk on the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4? Now Philip already going there. They were familiar with Jesus already. Philip is no longer running that ministry, the food pantry ministry. He's preaching the word of God. So you see, regardless of the challenges that you and I will face today, in the future, in our ministries that we are involved in church, regardless of the challenges that we face, you and I have to be faithful to the main call, to the main mission. And we should not let anything else distract us from the main mission, which is to preach the word of God, to make disciples of all people. God will use anything to mobilize you and I when we become inwardly focused. He used persecution in the first century. I don't even want to think what he will use today if we neglect his mission, his call.